You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
This morning, my message is called Activating Go. Activating Go. Someone's excited up the back. Wow. You know, today as we look at the scriptures, we're gonna do three things as we look at the scriptures. The first one is we're gonna work out what this scripture means for us as individuals who are called to be on mission. The second thing we're gonna do is we're gonna work out what this scripture means for us as followers of Jesus. You know, as a follower of Jesus, it always requires something of us, and we're gonna find out what that means for us today. And the last thing as we look at these scriptures is we're gonna be announcing the upcoming arrival of Jesus. It's Palm Sunday. And so we're announcing the upcoming arrival of Jesus, amen? And so let's just look at our scriptures for this year, for our declaration before we start today. Colossians 2 verse 7. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. Who wants to overflow with thankfulness in their life? No longer being caught with our gaze on the lack, but caught with our gaze on the overflowing thankfulness that God has placed in our lives. And the second scripture, Mark 16:15, and then he told them, you were to go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone, everywhere. It's God's heart, God's call for each and every single one of us. You may recall two weeks ago on Declaration Sunday that I shared a passage of scripture with you in that message out of the Gospel of Luke, and particularly Luke 14. And I just want us to read over this passage of scripture this morning just so that we can refresh our minds of what I spoke about 2 weeks ago. But I want to unpack what this scripture means for us, particularly as we're heading into this year, but also as we're heading into Easter. It's ultimately important that we capture what this scripture is saying to each and every single one of us. So Luke 14, starting in verse 15, says, hearing this, a man at the table with Jesus exclaimed, what a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God. And this is Jesus' reply to what this man said. Verse 16, Jesus replied with this story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he said to his servant, tell the guests to come, the banquet is ready. But they all began making excuses, and one said, I've bought a field and I must inspect it. Please excuse me, another said, I've bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Has anyone ever bought 5 pairs of oxen and then thought, I really should try them out? Please excuse me, another said, I just got married, so I can't come. This servant returned and told his master and told him what he'd said. His master was furious and said, go quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and invite the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. After the servant had done this, he reported, there's still room for more. So his master said, go out into the country lanes behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. For none of those I first invited will even get the smallest taste of my banquet. He's a little bit frustrated. You can pick it up, can't you? I want to encourage you with some of those excuses that those individuals gave. There was obviously something else at play. There was something else going on. See, all of those people who were invited were rich, well-to-do people from the town that they all lived in. Let me tell you, if you buy some land, very, very rarely will you buy some land sight unseen. It's not an excuse. He's trying to send a message to this person. I want to embarrass you in front of everybody. This is the message that this person is sending. Let me tell you, when you go and buy a car, You don't buy the car and then think, oh, I really should just take it for a drive around the block. Now, when you go and buy some oxen, when you go and spend a massive outlay of finances, you don't check it afterwards. You check it before. These are some pretty, let's say, lame excuses, because they are. They're lame excuses. But let me tell you, these individuals were trying to send a message. And rather than getting caught up with the message that those individuals were sending, he's like, there's some other people in town who would love to come to my banquet. He's upset. Of course he's upset. It's quite obvious that he's upset. They're not even getting the tiniest taste of my banquet. He's upset. But rather than getting caught up in trying to go back to them and say, why are you doing this to me? Why are you embarrassing me? I asked you to come and you said you were coming, but now it's like, I've got to do the washing. Lame excuses, right? Don't get caught up in getting into arguments. Still love the person. Give grace. And we'll touch on that later on. But there's other people who need to be invited to sit at the banquet table. So the first thing that I want to share with you today is that in Luke 14:16, Jesus makes this really, really clear. A great feast is being prepared. A great feast, a huge banquet is being prepared. And as we head into this Easter season, as we're right on the cusp of this Easter season, there's two major points to note out of this scripture in verse 16. The scripture should be on the screen. But the first point is this, that this is a great banquet that has been prepared. And the second point is that many guests are being invited to the great banquet. And so we as a church, what does this mean for us as a church congregation who's called to be on mission? That we're preparing to host Easter services next week with room for a great number of guests. It's going to be a great service, a great service for friends and family to come to, and there's going to be room prepared. The table is going to be set, so to speak, as the scripture talks about. Our table may be set with hot cross buns, but it's still going to be a great feast, right? Just hot cross buns. Boxing Day buns, as they're now called. See, this is, as the scriptures say, this is no small, intimate gathering. This is a large gathering where lots and lots of people have been invited. This is a moment of immense celebration and preparation to introduce many to be guests to Jesus. That's what's happening next weekend. Just quietly, that's what happens every Sunday. Just quietly, just in case you're wondering. But Easter is a time where people are receptive to hear about coming to church. It's something that they probably did when they were much younger, and it's kind of a normal thing. So they're possibly surprised when they don't get an invitation from you, because they understand how important Easter is to us as Christians. They understand how important Christmas is to us as Christians. They could even be disappointed that they didn't get an invitation, because that's the time of year when they come to church. And so I don't say that in a judgmental, heavy way. I say that they're probably waiting. They're probably waiting for you to say, hey, come along, it's Easter. I know that you probably used to go to church at Easter. Come along. It's going to be awesome. So my encouragement for each and every single one of us, Gateway, is that next weekend we will be collectively celebrating the gift of Jesus as Christians. We're going to be celebrating. It's a beautiful time of year for us as the church to celebrate Jesus. But we're also going to be facilitating a space and an opportunity for family and friends and neighbors to receive and hear about the greatest gift ever known, the gift of salvation. And so it's very easy to get caught up in, when you've been a Christian for a long time, it's like you just celebrate Easter. Well, Easter's not just to be celebrated. Every day is not just to be celebrated for you. It's a moment. It's a moment for others to hear about the good news of Jesus, whether people are hearing it through your words or preferably they're seeing it through your actions as well as your words. Amen. Second point today is, come, everything is ready, from verse 17. And in activating ourselves this Easter, it's time. The season is now. The moment for salvation and freedom is now. Everything is ready. We are ready. Your people are ready. Our cities, people are ready. Tell the people, tell your guests, tell your friends, tell your family. We are so excited to host you at Gateway Church this Easter. Both our Good Friday and Easter Sunday service. The date is set. We can't wait to have you attend our service. The invitations are being sent out. Just as the household person there said, go out and invite everybody that I want to invite. My heart for you today is go out and invite everybody that you want to invite. Who can be invited? Anyone and everyone anywhere. All right? That's who can be invited. I'm telling you today, we are ready. The message is ready. The hot cross buns are ready. The creative team is ready to celebrate, remember, and declare that Jesus' grace is for all. We're ready. Third point today, excuses. Luke 14, 18 to 20. You know, you may have invited people last year. You may invite people this year, and they might give you reasons why they can't come. Let our response be, if possible, I'd love you to join me. I understand that maybe you're worried about coming to church, but it's going to be a great opportunity for you to see what church is really about. No judgment, no heavy vibe to get them there to say yes. That's just ridiculous, right? Let's just call it what it is. That's ridiculous. I don't even think that's Christianity. To use heavy, like lame, vibey emotions to try and get someone to come to church. It's like, hang on, didn't Jesus come to do away with that type of behavior? Let's not be those people. Let's be people who are like, I understand that maybe it's a challenge for you to come to church. Maybe you've had bad experiences before. Or maybe you're worried about whether people are going to like speak to you. Let me tell you, people are going to speak to you. They're going to be nice to you. They're going to be kind to you. That's who we are as a church. Amen. You may have some folks give excuses. And, you know, maybe like some of those other excuses we read in the scripture, in your head you might be like, geez, that's the worst excuse I've ever heard. We all do it at times. We'll get to that later. That's in the next part. But it's okay. Can I encourage you? Be gracious. Be prayerful. So they give an excuse this time. There's going to be plenty of other opportunities. But the point is, have you invited them to come? I mean, can you imagine if the master said to his like employees in this passage of scripture, here's the list. Can you go to every single person and invite them to come? And it comes to the day and it's like, Where is everyone? I've sent you out to let them know it's ready, but they're not here. It's like, oh, you know what? I didn't get to all of them. I got halfway through the list. And then like a really bad paper boy, I like threw it in the drain so that I wouldn't have to deliver like the rest of the list. Now, can I encourage you? There are people who God is putting on your heart. He's putting a list on your heart. Can I encourage you? The only way they get to be here and hear about the good news is because you are the beacon of light in their life. You are the beacon of light in their life. Be gracious, be prayerful, be loving. That's who God's called us to be in everybody's world. Next point, bring them from everywhere. You know, in verse 21, it's like the servant returned and told his master what they said, and his master was a little bit testy and upset. But he's like, go quickly, go to the streets, go to the alleys, go to the town and invite everybody, everybody who you see. And in verse 23, he gets to the end of verse 23, and this is what he's like, urge anyone you find to come. Urge anyone you find to come. And the point of this directive today is this, that it's really easy to stick to the same people in your world. People who are like you, people who look like you, people who sound like you, people who dress like you. We are at our most comfortable as human beings when we can curate the people around us to make us feel really, really comfortable. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I'm saying it's a bad thing to be there all the time. It's good to have good people in your world to encourage you, and when you're going through life's ups and downs, to celebrate or walk grief with you. It's a good thing to have those people around you. But when all we do is see a narrow field of view of the people in our world, then I think it becomes a very bad thing. And I want to encourage you this Easter season and this year in general, can you just begin to open your peripheral vision a bit further? Can you just begin to see the people who are living outside of your margins, the people who are doing it a little bit tougher than you, the people who, in this passage of Scripture, who are in the laneways of the city, so to speak, or as it goes on to say, as people who are out in the country, away from view, where nobody sees them, nobody comes into their world, they're hiding behind hedges in this passage of Scripture, they're hiding behind the walls of their house, they don't come out, they're lonely, they're by themselves. These are the people that God has also called us to share the hope of Jesus with. Amen? Is it stirring your heart today? I hope this is stirring your heart. So the first call was to go to the town, the second call was to go to the outlying areas. And the call is for all of us to go to people regardless of what title society gives or doesn't give. They're God's people and He loves every single one of us. He created humanity. His heart is for them. We are for them. Amen. We're called to go out and see the many known by a new name. Society may have a title for them, but let me tell you, God has a new title for them. That no longer they'll be known by what they lack or their infirmity, but they'll be known as those who God loves. Our friends and family will be known as those who God loves. The people who you work with will be known as those who God loves. Goes on to talk about that the host's house, it must be full. And I want to speak over us that our house, it must be full. And we're not prophesying a full house because we're like, we just want lots of people. Now, I want lots of people to hear the good news of Jesus. I want lots of people to hear the salvation of Jesus and how much God loves them. That life wasn't meant to be bound up by religious rules and lawful legislations that people make up in the church. No, we're meant to live in the freedom of Jesus. We're meant to live in the Word of God and the freedom of Jesus. The kingdom of heaven must be full. The kingdom of heaven, it has a feast prepared. It's the good news of Jesus. It is Jesus. And I want to encourage you as we head into this next weekend and this year and every day of your walk, when you step your foot outside of the door on Monday morning, can I encourage you? Have people on your mind. Have people on your heart. I understand that life gets busy. I understand that when you've stepped your foot outside of that door on Monday morning, you've probably been wrestling. If you're a parent, you've been wrestling with those kids. It's like, get up, walk to school, get the bus, hitchhike. I don't care how you get there. Just can you get up, please? Life gets busy. I understand. We have challenges, every single one of us. We have challenges. Nobody ever said that life was going to be easy. But let me tell you, if it's on God's heart, let it be on our heart. Amen. So moving to the next part, what does this passage say to us as individuals and disciples? You know, as I've just been spending time meditating on this parable of the the great banquet. There were so many themes in here that are so relevant to each and every single one of us. The first one is it gives us some direction for rejection and insult. Who loves being rejected? I see no hands. Good. Who loves being insulted? Good. I see no hands. Excellent. It's not something that we love. We don't love being rejected by people. We want to be loved. And some of us we just want to be adored, right? It's like, somebody just adore me, please. It's like, don't you see the gift I am to the world? Like, adore me. Adore me. But we feel like at times that when we're rejected or when we're insulted, particularly after an invitation, like if you invite someone to come along, you want them to come to your birthday party, you want them to be a guest in your house, and they're like, oh no, I've just bought some oxen. Like, it's, oh man, like really? Like, I really wanted you to be there. Like, I really wanted you to come along. But this passage of scripture, it gives us a glimpse of God's heart for us, that even in the middle of the grief or a broken heart when people don't respond to his love, he's still like, you know what, that's okay, because there's somebody else. There's somebody else who needs to hear this message. There's the parable, it's a bittersweet reminder of rejection, but it also, the sweet reminder in it is that there's also mercy for many others. And so we need to take it. It's like, yes, we need to process the fact that, oh man, I was really hoping that someone would come along. But there's also mercy for many others. There's grace and mercy for you in the middle of that, processing the rejection or perhaps even being insulted by someone. It's part and parcel with being called to follow Jesus. I truly believe that when we come to grips with that, that there will be sometimes people who insult us. When we come to grips with that and learn to deal with that well, that it actually spurs us on rather than makes us shrink back. It's like, you know what, this is part of following Jesus. It's okay. It's okay. Second thing that I believe is relevant for us as disciples is this, that there's a call to activate mercy and grace. It can be really, really easy. So the person who had invited people in that passage of scripture could have just gone, you know what, forget it. Scrap it. It's over. No one wants to come. Done. I'm done. I'm never inviting anyone over ever again. Could have thrown the biggest hissy fit ever. It's like, that's it. Everybody's rubbish. If only they knew how good my banquet. Forget it. I'm done. But no, the second thing we see here in the scripture is that there's a new way in the kingdom of God. In the past, the banquet was only set up for the children of Israel in the scriptures. It was only the children of Israel who could find a way. Yes, it was through the priests, but it was only them who could find a way. But now we see that everybody is welcome to come and meet Jesus and sit at the host table. The poor, the lame, the crippled, the blind. And I want to encourage you that let's not be so literal when we read this. Yes, every single one of those people in the literal sense is welcome to come and sit at the table. But the poor in spirit, the lame in spirit, people who are crippled in their hearts and their minds and their emotions, people who are blind spiritually and can't see how much God loves them. Let's think broader than just the literal interpretation that we're sometimes rigidly stuck in. They are now invited to come into a direct personal relationship with God. He's talking about you. He's talking about me. Maybe at times you feel like when you read poor or lame, crippled and blind, you're like, you know, sometimes emotionally I feel like one of those people. It's like, how can I be accepted and in God's house and to come and be in a relationship with him? That's why he sent Jesus. In spite of how we feel, in spite of how things are at different times, he loves us so fervently that he sent Jesus. We are in our own ability. Yeah, we're unworthy to sit at the table of that banquet. But Jesus, just like this host, is saying, come everybody. Whether you're in the city, whether you're out of the city, whether you're hidden, whether you've been called a name, whether the society's given you a title, you are welcome to come and sit at my table. You are welcome to come and be part of a local church community. Everybody's invited. Everyone's invited to be loved by Jesus. The third one is evangelism. Going and inviting is part of the mission of going. So I could have just had the title as evangelism and then you would have permission just to switch off. Oh, I'm not an evangelist. No, I did. On purpose, I didn't leave it as going and inviting is part of the mission of going. Going and inviting is part of the mission of going. Each and every single one of us, when God gave us that directive in Mark and Matthew 28, he wants us to go to our family, friends, colleagues, strangers, neighbors, whoever it is, and just share God's love with them. You can do it in words, or you can buy a gift for someone in your street and say, so I just put it on their doorstep, write a little note, and so I just wanted you to know that this is my name, this is where I live. I wanted to encourage you. God loves you. Would love to have a chat sometime. What a great, beautiful start, right? Not only does it show that you're loving people with God's heart, but it also shows you want to have relationship with people. See, this closely related theme to evangelism, going and inviting, is anybody who is poor, lame, crippled, blind, doing it tough, lost their job, whatever situation people go through, whatever challenges people are in, they're not just invited, but God compels us, he urges us. Can you go out and invite those people? Because you're like, oh, I don't want to get involved. Someone told me they lost a job, but you don't want to get involved. God has placed you in that individual's life because you are the only beacon of light to come and breathe hope. Yes, we don't want to get involved as busybodies. No one loves a busybody, amen? Does anyone love a busybody? Teach me your ways. No, don't teach me your ways. Nobody loves a busybody. But everybody loves someone who authentically comes next and it's like, how are you? This is real. But when they have to sit in silence by themselves, the silence is deafening. So no one's coming next to me. We are called to come next to people and encourage. Amen? We're compelled, urged to seek out the poor, the oppressed, and we're called to go to people outside of our boundaries and our margins. And I just want to encourage you, can you take the role personally and urge and invite people? This isn't like a take it or leave it thing. This is the mission that God has for each and every single one of us. The fourth thing, this is the second to last one. Examining our own hearts is healthy. You know, it's really easy at times and I think probably the last year really rammed this home for a lot of us. We went through the last year and then we kind of got to the end of it and a month or two or 3 months after the sort of really crazy stuff was happening, it's like, maybe I'm not doing as well as I thought I was. Can I encourage you? Not waiting 12, 14, 15 months, that there's a better way. Spend some time, get in the quiet time with God and allow him to speak to you so that you can examine your heart and see where you're at with things. But I said before that a lot of the excuses that those guests made, they were not great excuses. I personally feel like I would have come up with something like much better. Like, it's not just enough to say, can't come because of stuff. But I want to encourage you that sometimes, and I've reflected on this personally, that sometimes it's like maybe some of my own excuses really shouldn't be excuses at all. Yes, we all have challenges and we need to create space and time to deal with the challenges. Who would agree with? Because I believe that that's healthy, right? But how often do we have like a reactionary response or excuse, maybe? Like God wants us to step out and do something and love the people around us. It's like, oh, I'm just too busy. I'm just too busy. Just too busy. It's like, if you ever hear me say that I'm too busy, please don't come and check my Netflix account, because it may prove that I wasn't too busy. Again, I'm not forcing on you for me to examine your heart. Let me examine mine first, all right? I'll let you spend some time to examine your heart. Maybe some of those excuses that we have. God's called us to join him in the mission. God's called us to join him on the journey. And he is the host. Jesus is the host in this passage of scripture. And I want to encourage you that for us, as people who is called to join him on that journey, let's just examine our hearts so that the people who are meant to be working with him aren't absent as well. Does that make sense? You're like, oh, who am I? I just come to church and I'm part of the church. Who are you? You are redeemed. You are set apart. You are called by God to join him in the commission. That's who you are. Let's do away with attenders and workers. And we are all called. The whole point of this message today is to equip you. You're one of the saints who God has made holy and God has made righteous and has called you to join in the mission. And it's my encouragement to you today is we are all called together. And this is an equipping for you to go to your friends and family. And the last point is this, point number five. God's plan prevails. God's plan prevails, just as the team comes this morning. See, I want to encourage you that God has a plan. At times, and when we're in the middle of things, we're like, where is it? Like, it's almost like a Where's Wally book, right? It's like, can the plan have some stripes on it so at least I can get a bit of an understanding of where I'm meant to be looking here? But see, the host has prepared food for a large number of guests. And he wasn't going to be satisfied until the house is full. And so I want to encourage you that God has a plan to populate the kingdom of heaven with humans. That's why he sent Jesus. He created us, and that's why he sent Jesus. He wants heaven to be full. He wants local churches to be full of people who are finding hope, who are finding God's love, who are finding what it means to be in a beautiful relationship with him, not bound up by rules and religious things that people tell them they need to do. But he wants people across our region to know God's love. He wants everyone everywhere to be loved and reached and brought into relationship with God. You know, maybe there's people who you've invited before and they haven't responded. Can I encourage you with grace and love and prayerfulness? Maybe it's time again. Maybe it could be time to examine ourselves and maybe question how we invited them last time. Was it in a beautiful, loving way? Or was it in a heavy way? Let me encourage you. Heaviness. Who's ever felt pressure put on them by someone? It could be in the workplace. Could be by a boss to work overtime, or could be by a boss to work on a Saturday. Who loves those conversations? But you feel the weight of expectation upon you, and all you want to do is just like run. It's like, stop. Somebody put their hand up and say that you'll take my place. Love our friends, love our neighbors, encourage them gracefully. Let them know that there is a place for them to come along to church and find out what Jesus is really all about. And I speak this to all of us, that 2 Peter 3 verse 9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. His heart is gracious. He is loving. And I want to encourage you that yes, we want to urge and compel, but we also need to understand that God has a plan in place to outwork. Be gracious, be kind, be beautiful with the people who are in your world. Just as we come to a close this morning, I know I've spoken a little bit longer than I hadn't planned to speak this long at all, but I just want to encourage you. This is important. The people in your world are important. Short testimony. I can only use mine. I can only use my testimony. I had a friend at school who every week, without fail, for about 18 months, every week, would invite me to come to youth group, which was then on a Saturday night, and would also every fortnight would invite me come to a small group, like a little youth small group. And without fail, every week, I would say no to the youth invite, and every fortnight, I would say no to the small group invite, without fail. It's like, I'm not interested, just stop it, stop talking to me. In fact, I don't want to be friends with you anymore, like, because I'm asking you to stop and you're still asking. But it got to this point where over that time, God had obviously been softening my heart. And one Wednesday, we're at school, he's like, hey, will you come to small group? And in my head, thinking that I was like way smarter than God, way smarter than everybody, but definitely way smarter than him, my response was, if I come, will you never ask me again? He's like, absolutely, I promise. That was the moment. That was the moment when I went along to small group and heard what God really wanted me to hear. Not that Christianity is all about rules and regulations and you can't do this and you shouldn't say that. I heard for the first time that God loved me so deeply and so lovingly that he sent Jesus so that I could have a relationship with God personally. It changed everything. Can I encourage you? The rejection and insult that I gave my friend for the 18 months, it was significant. I don't even know who I wanted to be friends with him anymore. Let's just say I wasn't a Christian at that time. Like, at all. Don't be put off by the rejection. Don't be put off by the insult. It's part and parcel. If you truly believe that what God has given you is of value, you wait the 18 months. It might be one invitation, but someone's like, yeah, absolutely, I'll come. It's Easter, why not? Or it could be something else entirely. That's okay. But I give you the testimony to say that if it wasn't for that one, there was no one else in my world who was inviting me. Had lots of friends who went to church, lots of friends who would go to church like three times a week. They go Wednesday night, they go to youth, and then they go on Sunday. But he was the only one for 18 months who was like, come, can you please come on. It's like, no, with some other words thrown in, no. 18 months. Can I encourage, as you step out into your week, as you step out into your year of going, don't worry about the rejection. Don't worry about anything else. Be concerned about passing on what you've been given. Amen? Never grow weary of inviting. Never grow weary of inviting. Why don't we close our eyes for a moment? Lord God, I thank you for what you're speaking to our hearts about this year. And my heart's excited that we as a church, we're preparing a space for friends and family and people in our community to come and hear about the goodness of God and how much he loves each and every single one of us. And I pray that even as we make contact with friends, old friends, people who used to, people who we're yet to know, I just pray that it would be moments of people responding, say, yeah, I'd love to come on. I'd love to come on. Can I sit with you? Like, Holy Spirit, whatever needs to happen for the friends and family in our life, God, I pray, let it be done. Let your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, maybe you're in the room today and you don't know Jesus personally. Maybe you're watching online and you don't know Jesus personally. I want to encourage you that you probably picked up by now from this morning that I truly believe that God loves us so much that he sent his son Jesus so that we could have a personal relationship with God. No longer at a distance. God wants to be near and close to us. And so if that's you today, in a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer, and I would love you to pray this prayer with me. And it's a prayer of accepting Jesus, accepting a relationship with God, and being loved and known by him, and not being caught in our sin anymore, but being forgiven by God because of Jesus. And so just as we pray this prayer, can I invite you, church, to pray this prayer with me? If you're online, this is your moment to receive Jesus as well. Pray this prayer with me. Why don't we pray today? Dear God, I thank you that you sent Jesus. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him. Forgive me of my sin. I surrender my life to you. I turn from my way and choose to follow you, Jesus. From this day on, I'm known by you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, if that's you and you're in this space today, and maybe you've been coming to church for like a long time, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, but you've never truly come before God and said, I surrender my life to you. It's not abnormal for that to happen in church life. I want to encourage you. Maybe you felt the pressure of that. So everyone thinks like I'm like right there, but I'm not. Can I invite you after? Feel free to come and have a chat to me, or you can email through the church website. You can get in contact with me. So maybe you're like, I don't want anyone to see me talking to Pastor Lee after the service because they're going to be thinking that that's me. It's okay. Just email, call the office, whatever works. It's okay. Maybe this is the first time that you've prayed that prayer and you're like, this is good. Can I encourage you? Don't just, there's more to a relationship with Jesus than just that prayer. Come and have a chat to me afterwards. You can contact through the church website. If you're watching online, go to gc.org.au/first steps. All the information is there about how to get in contact with us and what to do next in following Jesus. Who loves God? Good. Can I encourage you? It should be quite obvious by how much time and focus I put onto this message this morning of how much I believe it's a message for us to take into our week and our year. Amen.